It's good to be here once again behind the pulpit this morning. I'm very thankful that you're here today. And as I was off this past week on vacation with my family down in Panama City, there's lots of people. If you ever go over to Pier Park, you'll find out how many people they are. It seems like everybody goes over to Pier Park. And you know, I looked and watched people. I do it all the time. And you know, people are all different. Amen. All people are different. We all dress different. We all talk different. We all act different. We all live different. And you know, that's just reality. But today I thought about, and I got the opportunity to talk. You know, preachers, wherever they go, they don't just, you say on vacation, but they still talk God. They still talk the Bible. They still talk about Christ. I don't know if you do that when you go on vacation, but that's still on my mind. Even though I'm on vacation away from the church, away from the people I'm normally around, I still think about God. Amen? Anybody else? I still think about God even when I'm not behind a pulpit or in another state or somewhere else where nobody knows me, I still talk about God. I still think about God. I still pray to God. I still live and act like God, like Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about being more Christ-like. You know, I was in a conversation with a person, and he said, you need to learn how to be more Christ-like. We were talking about that very thing, about being more Christ-like, how to be more Christ-like to people. You know, I would say to you this morning here in the church, I know you on a general basis, I guess. I don't know you very personally, just like you don't know me very personally. But we go to church, we come to church each Sunday. And I see you in Walmart from time to time. I've seen Jackson. I've seen Delisa and Delana in Walmart before. And you know, we've run upon each other with our buggies. And you know, I know you from a general sense, just like you know me. But I wonder, that doesn't mean that we all act like Christ, like we should all the time. Amen? Anybody know what I'm saying? You know, just because we're here in church on Sunday morning, we may not act Christ-like. We are this morning, but we may not act Christ-like after we leave from church today. Okay? It doesn't always happen that way, but we can learn to be more Christ-like. With people that's hurt you, with people that's lied to you, people that's cheated you, people that stepped on you, the people you don't like, the people you'd rather not associate with. And the older I'm getting, the more I see. Anybody else? The older I'm getting, the more I think I'm turning in. You know that, is it a commercial, insurance commercial, where the guy says you're starting to turn into your mom and dad? You know, you're wearing the same kind of clothes and you're doing the same kind of things that your mom and dad. I'm turning into that person. I'm actually turning into that person. I'm learning. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I thought all those young ladies down there walking around and those, I call them scandalous clothes. I'm turning into something. I was like, who is this guy? I said, Lord, help me down here. All those guys walking around, just cruising around. But I used to do the same thing. But listen, I want to read something to you out of the Bible this morning. Y'all want to hear some scripture this morning? So out of the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Listen, it's hard. I want to tell you something this morning. It's hard to be more Christ-like if you're not growing in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? It's hard. As a Christian, as a child of God, you have to know that you're growing in the Lord. If you want, how many want to become more Christ-like? That's the main question. You know, I was reading some of the comments on Rock the South, and I was reading about I was reading some of the comments on Rock the South about all the mud and all the this and all the that, and this person like, well, I wish this stuff wouldn't even come to town, and all then this person said, well, if you don't want to come, then don't come, just stay at home. If you want to go, go. And I was thinking, oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, what my thought was this morning, how many people would be in church today? That was my thought, Kelly. How many people will be in church today? With the same excitement, with the same desire that they had for Rock the South. Now, I'm not knocking Rock the South. I'm just asking a simple question. Do you have that same desire this morning as your favorite event, as your favorite football team? When Alabama starts playing, come by my house and sit out in the driveway. You can hear Pam in there yelling. You can hear her in the driveway when Alabama's playing. But when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to Jesus, we should have that same enthusiasm. We should have that same desire. Amen? I mean, do you agree with me this morning? We should have that same momentum. Like, I want my team to win. Pam wants Alabama to win. You can ask her. She wants Alabama to win every game. Even if they play like crap. She wants them to win every national championship they can win. And don't want no other team to win. That's the way we ought to look at Jesus. We ought to want to win with Jesus. We ought to want to put Jesus first. We ought to want to be on the team of Jesus Christ and go all the way with the same enthusiasm as Nick Saban does when he's out there on the field driving those men to win those national championships. They don't just win those national championships by just walking around and passing the ball. Nick Saban's out there on that field and he's driving those men to excellence. And that's the way the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to drive ourselves to excellence in the Lord. Now, I'm a long way from excellence this morning. Amen. Anybody else? Can you testify to that this morning? I'll fall short of the glory of God. But let me tell you the good news this morning. God knows your heart. Amen. He knows your heart. When He looks down upon you from His throne, your Heavenly Father knows your heart. And guess what makes Him pleased? Guess what makes Him happy this morning? Even if you fall short of the glory of God, even if your pastor falls short of the glory of God, He knows I'm still trying. He knows I'm still trying. And that's what counts the most. God looks down upon you and He says, hey, oh Kelly, He's trying. Jeff is trying. Frida's trying. I see their heart. I know what they're doing. Jamie is trying. And that's what makes the difference. God knows that you're trying. But if you ain't trying, I don't think God's too pleased. If you ain't trying, let me read to you what I got to read to you this morning. Out of Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming to the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, there's several things in these passages of Scripture this morning that are very eye-opening to me. Like, first of all, it says here in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. God this morning wants you to have the mind of Him. He wants you to think like Him. He wants you to have the same intelligence. I told Pam, listen, I'm going to testify something to you this morning that you ain't going to believe. I don't even know. I said it. And sometimes I'm thinking, I told Pam this morning, I wish sometimes I wasn't educated. Jamie, you're a teacher, aren't you? Deanne, you're a teacher. Teaching young kids. But you know what? I feel sometimes like I wish I wasn't so educated. Now, I'm not no rocket scientist this morning. But before I learned this, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything. I had to learn all this. Not just memorize it, because I haven't memorized the Bible. Anybody memorize the Bible? Word for word? I haven't. But ever since I started gaining the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord, I've become a different person. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You want to be a different person. You want to be a new creation in the Lord. You don't want to be that same old person. But sometimes I feel like that. I wish I hadn't even learned all this stuff right now, because I know what I know. Does that make any sense this morning? Jamie's kind of looking at me like, what does he mean by all that? What do you mean, preacher? You don't want to know what God wants you to know? You don't want to have the mind of Jesus? You want to have the mind of Jesus this morning? It's hard, I'm telling you, it's hard to have the mind of Jesus this morning, because you got to see things like Jesus sees. You got to hear things like Jesus heard. You got to do things like Jesus did. And that's not easy to do. Can I get an amen out of that this morning? It's not easy to be Jesus-like. It's not easy to be Christ-like in the world that we live today. Amen? That's what I'm getting at. It's not easy. But we are learning to do it. But sometimes I don't want to learn this. I'm still learning. Anybody still learning? Anybody still learning in the Lord? We got to keep learning. God says we got to keep moving. We got to keep moving forward. You don't go back. You can't go back. That's what God keeps telling me every day, Brother Hewlin. He said, you can't go back now. You can't go back now. You got to keep on moving. You got to keep on moving toward the finish line. And whether you realize it or not, we're all moving toward the finish line. The very last breath that your pastor takes someday, that'll be the finish line. And God said, He tells me every day, God tells me in my spirit, Phil, you ain't got no time to be looking back. You ain't got no time to be wasting. You ain't got no time to be dibble-dabbling around in the past. You got to be moving forward. You got to keep learning. You know, when I started college down at Wallace back in, was it 2005, Pam? I don't even remember. 2005. I remember the lady president down there. I don't even remember her name. You know her name? I remember what she said, other than you'll make more money than you've ever made. That was a lie in your life. But the second thing she said was true. She said, the day you step inside of a college, the day you step inside of a school, you're a lifelong learner. Amen? We are lifelong learners of the Lord. We will never stop learning about the Lord. We will never stop growing unless you choose to. How many want to stop growing in the Lord? I don't see no hands up this morning. I got my hand up, but I'm not telling the truth. I want to keep growing in the Lord. I want to keep moving forward with the Lord, because the Lord's got great things for all of us to do that you haven't done yet. We got decisions to make that we're not certain of. I know if we started in this church this morning, those that are watching on social media today, you can testify that we all have things that the Lord may be calling us to do, but we're not certain of them. We got big decisions to make that we're not certain of. But if the Lord's calling you, if the Lord's in it, you can't go wrong. Amen? This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Sometimes it's a burden. But Jesus says, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, my burden is light. Jesus said that himself. He said, my burden is light. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. That God chose me to dwell inside of. Let me ask you something this morning. I'm going to get back to my scriptures here in just a minute. You know, let me ask you, if I came to your house today, would I find a bunch of garbage running over in your floors? Your garbage can, you know, one of the things at our house that runs over the most is the garbage. It gets above the rim, and I guess we need to get maybe a little mini dumpster to put in there so that we can get it out of the house with some hand trucks or something. But if I come to your house today, so if I came to your apartment today or your house today, would your grass be as tall as you? Would I walk in and be mud all over your house? Dirt, garbage, just everywhere? How many want to live in something like that? Nobody. So then why would our spiritual houses be any different? Amen? Why would you want your spiritual house like that? Full of garbage, full of dirt, full of clutter. You wouldn't. I don't. You know, I can't even stand to walk on the floors without any socks on. I don't even like to feel grit on the bottom of my feet. That's one of my little pet peeves, Kathy. If y'all want to know. I'll get the broom out, man, I'll start sweeping, Kelly. I can't handle it. That's the same way our spiritual houses should be. That's the same way our minds should be when it comes to be more like Christ. That's the way our hearts should be. Man, we got to get rid of all that junk out of our hearts before we can. You know, you can't love anybody. You can't make nobody love nobody. I can't make Frida love me. And she can't make me love her. But if I remove all this junk out of my heart, if she removed all that junk out of her heart, we could love each other. God wants a personal relationship with each one of us. No matter who you are, God wants a personal relationship. And the only way you have a personal relationship with anybody, you got to get to know them. I don't know Kelly. I don't know Jamie. But we've got a relationship. I'm getting to know them. They're getting to know me. That's how you develop a personal relationship. Go on vacation with us. Hey, spend some time with him. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to spend some time with him on a daily basis. All right, let's get back to scriptures real quick. Okay, so down here it also goes on to say, but Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and found him in appearance, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Now listen, I want to tell you another little secret this morning, that being humble, you got to humble yourself before the Lord in obedience. And that's another thing, if you want to be more Christ-like, you got to humble yourself. Amen? You got to be able to willingly give up whatever you have or holding on. What are you holding on to today? What am I holding on to today? If you want to give up, if you want to become more obedient to the Lord, you have to learn to be humble. Jesus was in a great place. Amen. He was up there in heaven with his Father. But he took on the form of man and was born of a virgin Mary, became a man, flesh and blood, just like we are today, and became obedient unto his Father, even to the death of the cross. That's how much obedience might cost you. But yet, God raised him. Amen? You believe that this morning? You believe that God raised his own Son, Jesus Christ, according to the Bible? According to the Bible, that's what it tells us, that God raised his Son from the dead on the third day. He was resurrected. That's what we celebrate Easter. Every Easter we celebrate it. We celebrate the risen and the resurrected Jesus Christ. So God can't be a liar this morning. God's got to be telling the truth about his Son, because through obedience, through humbleness, through becoming a servant of God and listening to the will of God and obeying the will of God, Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for us. And that's a great word to us today. That's a great word of encouragement to us today. that we know that and we can see that. We can believe that. Goes on to say, therefore, God has exalted him and given him a name, highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Do you know this morning, when you humble yourself before the Lord, and it's a hard thing to do sometimes when you're in a different state of mind or a different state of heart, when you humble yourself before the Lord and you become obedient unto the Lord, doing the things even though you don't want to do them. You ever been told by the Lord to do something you just didn't want to do? Anybody in here? You say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to tell you something. I've been driving down the highway before, and somebody had come in my mind to go see or go call them on the phone. And I thought, man, I'm in a hurry to get home. I don't want to. I've been working all day. I'm tired. They'll keep me on the phone for 2 hours. They'll be telling me all about their problems, and I just don't want to listen to it today. You ever had that happen to you? And you just go on down the road with your business, and the next thing you know, the conviction hits you. That's the conviction of the Lord. And then you stop and you make that call. I've turned around on the highway and went back to see people. And I'm going to tell you something. This just gives me chills to even speak it. I have went to see people that come upon my heart, and then a few days later, they passed away. Now, you tell me if that wasn't the Lord. You tell me that wasn't me having to humble myself and be obedient to the Lord even when I didn't want to. Because the Lord speaks to our hearts, and He knows our hearts. But I was so glad that I went and did what the Lord told me to do that I didn't want to do. Okay, going on. Someday, no matter who you are, the Scriptures say that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So why wait until that day? Why don't we just do it now? Because we just don't know what tomorrow holds. I know who holds my tomorrow. Anybody else? You know who holds your tomorrow? You know who's got you in the palm of their hand? Do you know this morning, church family, that the Scriptures tell us that no man can pluck you out of God's hand? That you belong to God, that you've been sanctified, you've been sealed by the very hand of God? Nothing's going to change that. Nothing. The love of God is not going to change ever. All right. Is this good to you this morning in any way? The Lord speak to you in any way today? I'm almost finished here this morning. Listen, and I mentioned about Pier Park this morning because of one reason. The Lord don't want you to be like everybody else. The Lord don't want you to be like me. And the Lord doesn't want me being like Jeff. Jeff's a good man. But the Lord don't want me being like Jeff. The Lord wants me to be me. The Lord wants you to be you. When He calls us to serve, when He calls us to grow, I can't see what Jeff sees. Jeff sees a lot of things different than I do. I see a lot of things different than Jeff does. But what we need to be seeing through is the eyes of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only way you're going to know what Jesus sees is look through the eyes of Jesus. And you know those little bracelets that people wear, what would Jesus do? Maybe we need to get some of those. Maybe we need to hand some of those out. And maybe we need to wear them around our wrist. But that way, the next time we want to flip out on something or somebody, we can just pull back and say, look at our wrist. And what would Jesus do in this situation? Maybe that's what we need to do. If that's what we need to do to be more Christ-like, maybe that will help us to become more Christ-like. If we had a little reminder, a little simple bracelet that would say, what would Jesus do in this situation? Would he curse these people or bless them? Give us a little reminder and then have a cross on it. I told somebody just recently that we have to forgive to be forgiven. Amen? We have to forgive to be forgiven. But you know what? Jesus says, forgive them for they know not what they do. But that doesn't mean He didn't have scars. Anybody got any scars this morning? Anybody got scars from an injury or accident? I got scars all over me. That's just a reminder. It's just a reminder. But we got to love people. We got to grow to love people if we have to. We got to forgive people. We got to walk and be humble in the sight of God. We got to be obedient to the will of God. And let God have control. You know what? And I'm going to say this and we're going to close. It's the hardest thing to do for anybody. I don't care who you are. For a preacher or for maybe even for the president of the United States. Sometimes it's hard to let God have control. Amen? It's hard to let God have control. Because you know why? Because we're so used to being in control of everything. We want to control everything. But God says, if you just let me have control, I can make your situation better. I can show you how to grow. I can show you how to be more humble. I can show you how to be more obedient. I can show you how to have more peace in your life. Man, I could use a little more peace in my life. Anybody else? Can you use a little more peace in your life today? Man, I could use a lot of peace in my life today. Man, I want to get up every day just bouncing off the walls with peace. Now, I want to wear a shirt that says, Mr. Peace. You know, I want to be bouncing around and just be so bubbly. People's like, man, what's wrong with him? He's got to be on something. Yeah, I'm on the Lord. I got Jesus on my side. I mean, if he's for you, who can be against you? All right, in closing today, all seriousness, pray, pray, pray. The power of prayer will change your life. It will change your heart. It'll change the way you feel, the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk. Ask God. Ask God what He wants you to do. Ask God to help you be obedient. Ask God to make you more humble. I would love to be more humble. Pam's a very humble person. Ask God to show you, to teach you how to be more Christ-like. And I thought this week, if the world was more Christ-like, we wouldn't have nowhere near the problems that we have in the world today. Amen? We wouldn't. The world would be such a better place if we were just more Christ-like. If we could just be just a little bit more Christ-like, the world would be such a better place. So apparently the world's got a lot of work to do. People in the world like me and you, we have a lot of work to do. Do we have any room for growth? Look around in the church this morning. A lot of people don't have faith in God. You know, it's not the preacher. I feel like I'm a pretty good preacher. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the Lord. Because what you see is what the Lord gives me. But in the church today, we got pews that are half empty or completely empty. And it's not just here. It's in a lot of the other churches. And I'm going to tell you why. Because people have lost their faith in the Lord. For some reason, they've lost their faith in the Lord. But we got room for growth. And that's the main thing. So this week, here's the challenge. Y'all ready? Are anybody up for a challenge? Hey, you know what? This is for real. Invite somebody to church next week that you don't like. Walk up to somebody this week and say, the Lord loves you, that you don't want to associate with. Go places you've never been. Talk to people you've never talked to. Tell them you love them and see what kind of reaction you get from them. They say, well, you don't know me. Why do you love me for? If Christ loves you, then I love you, because you have to. That's the challenge. Bring somebody with you next Sunday. Lead somebody to Christ and see how blessed you'll be. All right, we're going to pray and then we're going to close. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, you have an amazing way of bringing your word. Lord, I had all these scriptures wrote down this morning that I had intended to share, and God, you see that it wasn't my intentions that needed to be coming forth this morning, Lord, but it was your intentions. And Lord, that's the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes I worry about the sermons, Lord. We're wondering if they're going to be good enough, or will it reach anybody? Will anybody listen, Heavenly Father? But Lord, that shouldn't be my main concern. My main concern is your concern, Lord, what you would have done, what you would have accomplished. And God, we pray this morning, the word that's went forth, Lord, we pray that it has touched somebody's heart, that it's touched somebody's life, Heavenly Father. God, I'm only as good as I can be, but you are good. You're more than what I could ever possibly ever hope to be, Heavenly Father. But God, I pray that you would help us to grow in the likeness of Christ each day that we live. God, help us and teach us how to love more. Teach us how to be humble in our hearts towards you. Because Lord, the scripture says, with the heart the mouth speaks. So Lord, whatever I speak out of my mouth, I hope and pray that it comes out of my heart and it comes from you. I hope it doesn't come from hate or anger or bitterness or whatever it may be, Lord. I pray that it comes from you, showing and filling me with your unconditional love. And God, that's what it takes to reach people. It takes unconditional love, which is hard and very limited in this world that we're living in today, in this time that we're living in. But God, we thank you for this time that we could share your word together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the music and the playing this morning of the piano. And God, we pray that you'll continue to bless each person that is here today. God, we have plenty of room for growth in the church and in our hearts, Heavenly Father. So God, we pray that you would build this church up and all the churches, Heavenly Father, that are empty, that are families, Lord, that need to be in church, kids, children. Lord, wherever it may be, Lord, we pray that your will would be done. And God, and help us as your people to do that will, and by guiding us and leading us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, if there be one under the sound of my voice today, Lord, that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Lord, I just pray today that this would be the day that they would come to know Jesus and come to accept him as their Savior, Lord, while they still have a chance. Lord, we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, Lord. Today is the only day that we have. And God, we hope and pray that we don't waste it on frivolous things. But Lord, we now ask you to lead us and guide us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the people, Lord, that are here today and that are on social media. And God, we give you the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.